Chakonori.
Memories of Alison Prince, who's died aged 88. Now, Keith Schellenberg was the eccentric millionaire who bought the island of Egg off the west coast of Scotland. The family fortune came from glue-making and gelatin production. When he took over, Keith bought up car dealerships across the north of England, revived a run-down shipyard at Whitby, and sold livestock feed. He loved adventures, captaining the British bobsleigh team at the Winter Olympics, driving a vintage Bentley across the world, and racing powerboats. Ray Bullman is the former powerboat racing correspondent of the Daily Telegraph and became friendly with Keith Schellenberg.
He dressed in Scotland like a gamekeeper, you know, breeches and things like that. He was a tremendous eccentric.
As always, tomorrow, every
he was the kind of man you would have seen in 1890s on the Northwest Frontier next to Gunga Din. And don't shoot till they see the white side's Carruthers. But in fact, he was a very gentle man and he was very anti-violent.
Life is but a game.
Cows, launching pad for the International Daily Express offshore powerboat race. Crews prepared for the grueling time ahead. 230 miles in the roughest, toughest seas they'd ever met under competition.
And he got into powerboat racing. Was he good at driving a powerboat?
He was very popular amongst the other drivers, but he didn't have any real success. He had your hair standing on end. He did all kinds of...
So he was fearless?
Very much fearless.
Sam Moritz, the World Four-Man Bobsleigh Championships. Great Britain attacking the hair-raising test of skill and speed with its high banked curves and almost suicidal straights.
He was successful as a bobsleigher, wasn't he?
Very much. He was involved in the Olympics in bobsleighing early on, and he was a great sportsman all round.
And I gather he flew his own plane as well.
He did.
Did you ever go up with him?
No, but he almost killed me in it.
Oh, right. How did that happen?
Well, it was in the Round Scotland race in 1971. I went to take some photographs and he said to me, well, that's no problem. I'll lend you my aeroplane. I said, well, I can't fly. I haven't got a license. He said, I'll send Willie up. And Willie looked about 16 year old with a trilby trying to smoke a pipe to make himself look older. On the way back, we suddenly hit fog just south of Aberdeen and they closed Dyce Airport. And suddenly the pilot said to me, what shall I do?
You must have been a bit scared, weren't you?
Well, I was, but later on I said to Keith, this guy didn't know what he was doing. So he said, oh, that's Willie. He said, I didn't tell you, but he only got his licence last week.
So he drove cars in a big way, didn't he?
Bentleys,
he
had about four.
Right.
And they were the very, very... rare, about 1928 to 1930.
Am I right in thinking that he took one of his cars on a rally to Australia?
Yes, and I saw him off. That was the London to Sydney car marathon, which was sponsored by the Daily Express. He was driving one of his Bentleys, the 1930 Bentley, one of his popular Bentleys, a beautiful car. We saw him off with all the rest of the cars from Crystal Palace.
I think the fact that we're just going on our own, we've got what spare parts we have, we've got to carry. We don't obviously compete with the main teams or anything else.
How did it go? Did he manage to get it to Australia all right?
No. He got as far as Iraq or somewhere that way. I've been near Turkey and it broke a back axle and got stuck in some kind of sand bank.
What do you think it was that gave him such a zest for life? Because it sounds to me as though he enjoyed a party, he enjoyed travel, he enjoyed taking on adventures.
Oh, he did indeed. And I don't know where that came from, but if you talk about enjoyed a party, he didn't drink and he didn't eat meat. And he was a great conservationist. And well before the current businesses of the global warming, in 1972, for the London Monte Carlo race, he had a boat which he called Conserve or Perish. And that was well before, and he displayed that very long.
So he was an early eco-warrior.
Very much so. He wouldn't shoot any animals. On his estate, there were loads of rabbits with myxomatosis dying. And he said, who am I to... I said, you should shoot them or something. He said, who am I to hasten their end?
In 1975, Keith Schellenberg bought the 8,000-acre island of Egg for £265,000. He was a colourful laird, staging the annual Egg Games and holding parties for his friends. He attracted young families to help him regenerate the island. But as the years went by, the relationship with his tenants soured. Camille Dressler has written a history of Egg. She was taken there as a child by her French parents, who at first had been attracted by Keith's optimism.
Towards the end of his period on the island, he was indulging in war games, the Jacobite against the Hanoverian, and if you were hitting each other with a tennis ball, that's it, you were caught and you were a prisoner. A few years after his departure, we found yellow tennis balls absolutely everywhere. I mean, it was all harmless to a degree, you know, but what was the problem was that he wasn't concerned about what was going on in our lives, in the people that live on the island.
I've always felt the important thing there was to try and sustain as many people in work without spoiling the environment.
He had this vision that he would develop enterprise on the island, and he started quite well with a fair amount of funding from the regional council, and then it went pretty much downhill from there. What went wrong is that he didn't really let anyone get on with what they were doing, and also when the funding from the region dried out, there was a lack of investment in the island and it was really stagnating.
I think that my ultimate failure with Egg is that I can't be bothered to try and get on with them anymore. But perhaps the irony is that in the old days, it was the landlord and the factor who would burn the crofters down and ship them off to America. The rich thing now is that me, it's been burnt out and setting off back across the water.
As a young French person coming to discover Hebridean Island, I would say that Schellenberg has certainly provided me with a very quick education in the class system in the UK.
There's always tomorrow, it brings
I remember the songs of Jack Buchanan wafting across the Sea of the Hebrides at midnight on a night of the Egg Games. Those were wonderful times for lots of people, and we'll never forget them, and we'll still keep, I'm sure, still keep the spirit.
Keith Schellenberg, who's died aged 90. Now, Robert Ponsonby was the BBC's controller of music in the